Welcome to the Old Dog New Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff West, and I'm going to spend some time talking about tech and looking at how the old dog ways really aren't all that old. I'm going to look at some integration ideas, discuss some successes and failures, and show you that it's really not about being perfect, but it's about being patient when it comes to integrating technology. I'm a high school educator, been teaching music, band for most of my career, but I am a big tech enthusiast, and I really enjoy researching and finding answers and ways to integrate tech that don't take up so much time. Let's get going.
Coming at you live from my basement. I had to go shut the door because the air conditioning kicked on. It's getting a little balmy outside. It's really pretty nice here in Michigan. But we're scheduled to get some 90-degree weather, I think. Thank you very much, Tropical Storm. I forgot his name. It was a hurricane. But this is episode number 2. Don't fear the tech. I was recalling my conversation with some colleagues about our first years of teaching as we welcome in new staff and some are first year teachers. And of course, they're, you know, learning all of those procedural things that clog up your memory and sometimes make you forget about teaching, and you get all nervous about them and uptight, understandably. And as I walked away from that conversation, and I shifted back into my music role and getting my things all set for football season, crazy time, football season. And then I shifted into some lessons and some ed tech, and that feeling in my stomach that I used to get back in those early years started to raise its ugly head, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is why, or one of the reasons why, so many teachers are so hesitant to integrate tech. Who wants to put themselves in a position where they can look foolish? Who wants to put themselves in a position where, yes, they know if they click home or share or collaborate or play that it's supposed to work, but there's any number of things that can go wrong. And so that kind of raises that anxiety level. So why would you go and use something that you're not sure is going to be a high reward, but and you're almost positive there's going to be something happen? And usually there is. I mean, I can't think of a time where I was integrating tech where there wasn't just a little hiccup or something. Why wouldn't you just stay with your old tried and true methods? Stay with the book, get the pencil and the notebook and turn in the paper. And all those things are still good. And you still should do them. They're still important skills for students to have. But I was thinking back anyway about my first years of teaching. And I think it was my second job I had. After a first job that I tried to forget, there were some good things that came out of it. It wasn't all bad, but there were a lot of experiences that helped me later when I became a union building rep and president to recall my experiences and handle things. So that first job was, you know, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the second job. When I got to see, I think it was on a DVD. It might have been a VHS tape. A recording of a presentation by Harry Wong. And Harry Wong, at that time in education, was very, very popular. And he had some great ideas for classroom management, for communicating with parents. Still good ideas. But at the time, they were the innovative ideas. They were new. He was energetic. He had a a unique delivery of his content, and he was very engaging, even as it was still kind of a sit and get type of situation for PD. But he had a quote that, you know, I'm sitting there as a second year teacher, new job after a bad first job. So I'm already at a, you know, DEFCON 5 and the anxiety level. And he says, it's very reassuring to your students that you know what you're doing. And the effective teachers spend time organizing and structuring their classroom so the students know what to do to succeed. So I pause. And I go, oh my God, I'm in trouble. What have I gotten myself into with this district? Is it going to be another situation like my last? And it turned out it wasn't. It turned out it was probably one of the best situation, especially for beginning teachers. It was a brand new school. Most of the staff that I was coming in with were first-year teachers from Michigan or the Midwest out in Arizona. Arizona was hiring teachers as quickly as they could, because at that time, cities like Laughlin, Nevada, were just starting to grow. And so consequently, they had a large infusion of population, large growth. So here's all these young teachers, and they're showing us Harry Wong, and it's saying, know what you're doing to reassure your students. And if to be effective, you need to spend time organizing. And as a first-year teacher, I don't know about you, but for me as a first-year teacher, I spent a lot of time organizing and going over and hashing and rehashing and trying something out and reviewing the lessons that I had studied or done, either in student teaching or a job or talking with my colleagues on this work or so forth, before I ever saw a student, and trying to be ready. And of course, now as I'm older, I'm good. You can be ready, but you're not ready. You don't know what's going to come in that door. And the best thing you can do is just have a few philosophies that you go by. One I go by is every student wants to be good. They want to be good. They want to have a good reputation. They want to be respected. They want to be cool. They want to be funny. And their personalities may not give them those talents, but that's what they want. They may be too shy, or maybe they're a little more introverted. Maybe they're so extroverted that folks kind of shy away from them, but they want to be good. And so, you know, if you remember that as they're coming in, that's the experience. But at the time, my first year, I had no experience. So like my kids are coming in and I'm scared to death and fearful. And I'm thinking, if you're going to try to integrate tech and you're feeling even half of what I felt, or half of what you felt your first years of teaching, no wonder you don't want to try it. No wonder we're hesitant. No wonder we have laggards who are holding back and are always fighting every bit of change. I think we can learn something from that attitude. I think there's a validity to taking it slow, because I certainly have seen my fair share of methodologies and frameworks get thrown out at an opening staff meeting at the beginning of the year. And by November, we're not even talking about it anymore. We've had to abandon it for one reason or another, for barriers, typically money, but we had to abandon it for some reason. So I digress. So I'm back on Harry Wong, and I hear what he's saying, and so I'm organizing. And so I'm thinking, if that's what you feel when you're trying to integrate tech, then it's very understandable why you would want to. So how do we get over that? So what do we do? How do we leave that behind? Well, I think one difference between the first year teaching and tech integration is, especially for the experienced teacher or anyone that's been teaching for more than a year, is you have experiences. You have something to fall back on. If the tech doesn't work, plan B, plan C, plan D. You know what you're doing. Another thing is that the students are coming into your classroom with some knowledge of tech. They didn't come into my classroom with some knowledge of teaching. They didn't walk in and start talking to curriculum. Talking to me about curriculum. That would have been funny. I'm picturing that. Hey, Mr. West, are we going to demonstrate our understanding of key signatures and modulation and intonation? But they could walk in and talk to you about how to use Twitter, about how to use Google, because they probably have some experience, maybe from maybe your district, maybe you've had a few teachers that have already integrated it, already used it to some degree, and you can use them as your knowledge base, as your compadres. You're not alone. I think we forget that. I know I did. When I first started using tech, I thought I was still in that frame of mind in my training of being the primary resource. The saying that I read a lot lately is the sage on the stage. And I think we forget that we don't have to do that. Tech makes it so that we don't have to. In fact, not only can you make a mistake and work with your students and build a relationship with them and collaborating and showing them how to persevere and how to overcome and how to problem solve, but you could even look it up, look up your problem online, get the answer in a few seconds, and be right back on track. As an older teacher, that's amazing to me. I have to remind myself that option is available. It's mind-blowing to think what my first years of teaching would have been like if I would have had a device right next to me or that I could put in my pocket, that if I couldn't remember particular terminology, I could just click and look it up and give the answer to my students or tell them to look it up, which is what I do more often. So if you're still got a question mark, what am I going to do? So I know what you say. I hear what you're saying, but still not feeling it. Well, another part of the technology is that there's a plethora. There's my vocab word for the day. Plethora of articles and research out there about ways to implement or integrate technology in the classroom. And there's more and more research that's being done that is showing that it is making a difference and that students are going to need these skills when they get into college and or not into college, into their job. They're going to need skills that at least they are understanding, say, interface, how to use tech. They may not know the exact piece of software, but so many of the interfaces or the homepages look similar now, and they can problem solve and deduce how to use them because of their experience with other tech. So, one article that I came across in my study for my master's in educational technology was an article by Vicky Samuel, who is a professor at a university in Columbia. And she wrote an article, looking for the date here, and it's eluding me. But it's titled, Principles for Meaningful Technology Integration. And of course, every article is going to be written with this professionalism and so forth, but you can change the wording and apply it to yourself. And she's focusing on the SAMR model, which is and TPAC, which are fairly common models and frameworks for educational technology integration. And she speaks to principles that I think the wording can be applied and works for the classroom. So let me just read through them real quick for you here. Meaningful technology integration focuses on learning and not the technology. So focusing on the learning, which I think is good. And I think most of us would say the same thing, because often we'll hear stories about, we just got Chromebooks, we just got iPads. Yeah, we're doing it. But what are you doing with them? What's their purpose? What's their function? How's your learning getting enhanced? Meaningful technology integration involves the students in the activity using the technology. Meaningful technology integration is essential, not peripheral, to the activity. So the students are doing something, and the activity couldn't have been done without the technology. If you're familiar with SAMR, you'll find that in SAMR, I believe in the R, the replacement. Meaningful technology integration works well for your specific context. Okay, maybe a Google Doc's not the best choice. Maybe Flipgrid is. Meaningful technology integration addresses 21st century skills, issues, and digital literacy training. It's got a lot of words in it, but you know, if you are approaching your integration with technology from the first two, you're going to hit the 21st century skills. I think you'd have to try to miss them. Meaningful technology integration facilitates learning activities that would be more difficult or impossible without the technology. And lastly, meaningful technology breaks down classroom walls. And so those kind of speak to the 21st century skills as well. I stay focused myself on the critical thinking, creativity, collaboration, and communication aspects of 21st century skills. And then I'll take a look at the globalization and digital literacy, citizenship. Not that those aren't important, but I'm able to do those things, those second things I mentioned of literacy, citizenship, and so forth, because I'm doing the others. So start with one of those C's. For me, creativity came right into it as a music teacher. But communication, I think, is a huge piece of the 21st century skills. And I think we need to take some time to focus in on those. All right, I'm going to throw you a bone. Actually, I'm going to throw you a couple of bones. First one. So if you're looking at getting comfortable, don't fear. Don't fear the tech. Not going back to those first days, years of teaching. Explore with your students. Use tech and explore it while you're teaching your content. Maybe just create a simple Google Slides and try the add-on Pear Deck. It allows you to put in slides to assess the learning that's happening with simple questions, or they can draw something even. Do something, a Padlet, a research topic, so that they, and ask them to put in the different files. There's all kinds of files, video to links to typing, pictures, whatever. You can put in, create Padlets, and explore with them. And, there may be some crashing and burning going on. But as you do that, you remove that drive for exact perfection at that time. And you're going to be teaching them about overcoming and persistence and research skills. And, you can put digital citizenship. That's a toughie. Digital citizenship. That was better. In there, especially when you're looking at copyright law of images or, proper way to post, if that's an issue. And as things don't work, a lot of times my kids will have done the same activity and use the same tool in another class, and they'll say, no, just click up here. Oh, and I say, oh, well, thank you. That's great. And then I learned something, which I don't know about you, but I,
this is a commonality, I think, in most teachers. We all like to learn. We like school. We like to learn. And so when a student teaches us something, I mean, we know from research that that if a student can model it and teach it to someone else, they have learned it. They're learning it. So don't be afraid to explore, like a field trip. I mean, you take them on a field trip somewhere, you don't know if some weird guy is going to walk around with a sign on that says something that's not school appropriate. You don't know if you're going to get there and that day the exhibit you went to see just happened to be closed. Maybe the most important part of the field trip was when you stopped at the ice cream shop. That's when they made friends and they learned and they communicated. Field trip was nice, but they'll remember the ice cream shop and they will remember that field trip because of the ice cream shop. How about a tool? Newbone. Flippity.net. Flippity.net, it has its own website where it shows you several tools like creating flashcards. There's a random name picker that I have used when I am doing a playing test. There is, puts them in groups. There's crosswords, there's bingo cards. There was a hangman game that I used. I've used as an opening activity as the kids come in and they're setting up. And before we tune in band or in any of the other classes, and I'll use the terminology that I'm trying to teach them. You know, that gamification piece that we also know is so such a strong tool for creating learning, meaningful learning. But Flippity.net has a website, but it also is an add-on for Google Sheets. And that is primarily where you'll do your entry of data, of words that you want in your flashcards. Or in those flashcards, you can also insert YouTube share links, and it will put the video on there. So a lot of opportunity for the teacher to create content, but I have used it more successfully in giving it as a choice for students to use to create something with the content that I'm teaching. So I still have a test. I still have a perfection assessment. How perfect can you do this? This one time with these questions. So the bar is high and there is no room for, little room for error. But getting the learning facilitated leading up to that assessment is so important, I think. And I have found that I'm doing it a little bit better now with tech. And my students are not only learning my content, but they're also learning skills that will be applicable in whatever direction they choose to go. So providing those pathways, avenues, doors, however you think of it. So they have choices, because that is another, along with the fact that kids all want to be good, that's another philosophy I have, is they want to have choices. And technology is, it's a double-edged sword. It's good that we have choices, and it's bad because sometimes we make the wrong ones because we don't know how to make the choices. We haven't practiced it. I hope that these bones will help you out a little bit. I hope that if you're having any fear at all of tech, that maybe some of what I talked about here can help you figure a way around it. And remember that you have skills. Even first-year teachers that are coming in have skills. Sometimes that first-year teacher has that first-year part is a skill. That's a tool. You're new. You're young. You're to be discovered, versus someone like myself that's been around for 17 years, and they kind of know, or they think they know. So when I make a change, it takes a little bit because I've been there 17 years. So whatever they thought about me from 5 or 10 years ago might still be there, but as a first-year teacher, it's all brand new. So that's a plus. That's a tool. Don't be afraid to use that. And experienced teachers, just remember, you're good. You've got your experiences. You can overcome the obstacle. And if the tech doesn't work or it's not useful, you couldn't do the activity without the tech, then don't use it. Don't. Because you're almost setting yourself up to exasperate that feeling of nervousness or to being allergic to change. It's going to happen. So make sure you take a look at that article. I'll put the source in my show notes and take a look at flippity.net. And even you do some reading on Harry Wong. He had some awesome ideas. He is awesome. I believe he's in his 80s now. You take care. Sometimes for fun in class, I like to pick up my guitar or not and just pick a tune the kids know and make a little parody. So I'm going to do that. I hope you enjoy it.
Chalk is gone. Blackboard is an LMS. Teacher, don't fear the tech. Click share and collaborate. Don't fear the tech. Collaborate. Click share and collaborate. Don't fear the tech. Oh, yeah. Gonna be a big, big hit.
This has been the Old Dog New Tech Podcast with your host, Jeff West. I hope you enjoyed your time. And remember, with EdTech integration, it's about being patient and not perfect.